Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Your Bible. I hope you have your sword this morning, and if you have it, I would like you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at four verses today of a message titled, Breakthrough to Focus. Now, if anybody knows me, focus and me are not two words synonymous with one another. I have ADD like you've never imagined. Anybody else know what that's like? You want an ADD pastor, because those long, drawn-out, boring messages, they actually get bored of your own message and you stop preaching. So that's why you want a pastor that's ADD, because if you have one that's not, they will go on and on for a very extent. Mr. Curtis, don't say nothing. He thinks I go on anyways. No, but you want a person who is ADD, because you can't focus on anything for any length of time. So this morning, I know that a breakthrough is going to be something that's important because I don't have focus. This morning's message is breakthrough, and then the focus on that, breaking through to a focus on what God has for your life. Anybody in here would like to know what God wants you to do? I'll raise both hands on that one. That is pretty much, if you ask a believer, I really want to do what God wants me to do. But the question becomes, well, what does he want me to do? Well, we were created to glorify him, to do his goodwill, his purpose that he has us divinely created for. And this time right now, I'll tell you, how easy has it been to focus on anything, ADD or not, during the last, how many months it been now? I don't even remember. A long time. This is no lie. I was walking, I looked up this week, and I saw a mayfly. And I went, wow, it's already May. And I'm not dead serious. And then I instantly went, wait a minute, no, this is August. No, almost August. Anybody realized how fast this, no joke, how fast this year gone to you? Now, when I got hurt in 2004 and I sat home for 4 years, I thought it was going to get real slow and time was just going to creep by. Mm-mm. What you've experienced in the last few months is what I experienced over a four-year period. It went faster than any period in my lifetime. I don't know why. I've never understood it. It seemed like the more, in a sense, bored and stuck that you are, the slower time goes by. But for whatever reason, I think it's the daily activities of keeping us busy that actually make life a little bit slower and you kind of understand time better. But when you're in this, I don't know, you call it a pause that we've been in? We're in this pause of life right now. And for whatever reason, it has made it so fast. And that's why it's so hard to focus on things, because most of the things that we do normally focus on have been, in a sense, taken away from us. But today, I pray that what this message does, as I have sought the Lord's face and what he'd have us do, is that today God can initiate some breakthroughs so that we will focus on what it would be that God would have us put our focus on right now, and we do not waste the opportunity during this time to truly be beneficial in the kingdom's perspective. Even the things like this, you know, our internet ministry and all the work that Andrew and them, they spend all this time to get that so that those who are out there are able to get the gospel. They're able to hear the truth. If all that work hadn't been done, we would have been in big trouble. Now, with this ability now with the FM on 87.7, we're going to get some bumper stickers made, huh? Andrew said he's going to do love songs and some old Christian hymns during the week so that, you know, you want to go out on a date and just spend a couple hours in the parking lot listening to some good music and hear Andrew talk in that raspy voice. He'll do requests too, amen? He actually said that was a good idea earlier. But, all these ways, though, these avenues are ways to reach people that right now may not be able to get out of the house, or someone who has a hard time coming into church, maybe respiratory issues, or maybe you get that really bad on the borderline of pneumonia and you don't want to risk it, but you just want to get out of the house. Anybody know what that's like? I cannot stand to be, it's one thing if you want to stay home and you can go out, but how about when somebody says you can't go out? What does that do? That brings out the 3-year-old in all of us, doesn't it? I'm going out. I don't care what they say. But that's the thing that right now people are battling with. And if you feel sick, or maybe you got that family gets the stomach bug, get out in the parking lot with some trash cans in it. Stay home. But, you know, a bad cold or something like that. Or maybe your child is not feeling well and you don't want to risk them coming in and exposing. Do that. We just want all the avenues that we possibly can to reach people right now, which I think is the most important time in history. But again, this identification this morning of what we should be focusing on initiating these breakthroughs is what this message is all about. And again, I pray that God would move this morning in a mighty way as only He can. I hope you found Philippians, the second chapter we're going to look at, verses 1 through 4. And if you are physically able, let's stand this morning out of reverence for the reading of God's word. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Father God, we thank you this morning again for this privilege we have. Father, I know your word promises that it will not return void, but will accomplish what it is sent to accomplish. Father, have your way in this midst. Hide me behind the cross today so that the Spirit might shake hearts, Lord. Guide us, direct us, focus us, and empower us to live out that created purpose. And we commit all this to you and ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's verse 1 and 2 again. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. This first verse leads us to our life application principle this morning, which is this: breakthroughs of godly focus only happen in the lives of saved people. Godly focus only happen in the lives of saved people, regenerate people. You're not going to see, in essence, a lost man out there saying, hey, what does God have for me today? They might say that in a cliche sense because they have been raised in a Christian household or something. You ever heard people that, I mean, you'd see them at one certain point and you go, oh, I've never heard anything spiritual out of them saying, well, I just want God's best for my life. You know what I'm talking about. It's cliche statements, but I'm talking about a true breakthrough. I'm talking about a true work of God. It's only going to happen in the lives of believers unless it is no one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit enables, some versions say draws him. The work of God to bring someone to salvation, now that's a breakthrough. But I'm talking about the life of a follower of Christ, a person that God's divinely leading, and there is a breakthrough happening in a focusing sense. Again, only happens with believers. The encouragement in Christ, fellowship of the Spirit. What Spirit? We only know there's one Spirit. There's spirits that are contradictory to Christ, but we know there's only one Holy Spirit of God. By the way, you'll hear some people sometimes differentiate. You'll hear someone say, well, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, well, I said one time to somebody, yeah, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I say, oh, yeah, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that a second cousin? There is only one Spirit of God. You might refer to it as the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. I sure hope you're not talking about something different. Because we know as followers of Christ and what the Bible teaches is that you have the Trinitarian singular nature of the God of creation that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell in. Well, no, that's three people. Come on now, y'all. We are finite. We are limited. We can't understand the infinites of God. I know one thing. We can't understand how COVID's... oh, good gracious. I had an article this week that says, They're almost able to figure out how it's being transmitted. Wait a minute, coach. We've been doing this for 5 months, and you're going to try to figure out now how it's transmitted? It took this long? I don't know what's going on, man, but somebody has gotten, there is some major issues going on if it takes this long to figure out how a virus is transmitted. And then that person's going to tell me there's no God. I'm not listening to them because I know that I serve a God that is infinite, incomprehensible, unable to be contained. And I know one thing, I'm riding with him. Amen. And I hope this morning that you are, because if you're in his boat, if you are in him, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. It is the presence of God that it's salvation. What does it talk about at Pentecost? The coming of the Holy Spirit, the promised comforter. Oh, well, you'd call the comforter saint. Yes, it's the same thing. It is the presence of God that what dispels the enemies dwelling within us, that as lost people, we are headed for hell because we are not the Lord's before salvation. But when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call it. Praise God, amen? And we are then led by that Holy Spirit. And we are convicted by that Holy Spirit. And that's what's beautiful with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, when we trust in the Lord with what part of our heart? All of our heart. When we lean not on our own understanding, meaning looks like a duck, smells like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. No. God, I don't understand why in the world you are leading me to go to wherever right now. But God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are leading right now. Father, I've been in your word. I've been praying about it. And God, you are clearly leading. And I don't want to go on the mission field, Lord, right now. Or I don't want to go to that inner city ministry, God, that you're leading me to. I realize that it's your will. And what's so bad is I don't want to leave where I'm at. A lot of people confuse leading of God as, well, I got mad at what this person at church said, or that woman said, or the deacon said, or the pastor said, or Sunday school said. I got mad because they poured me sweet tea instead of unsweet tea, and I can't believe they didn't apologize for it. And I know God's moving me now. No, God moves you when you don't want to leave. As a matter of fact, again, it's like trying to pry a three-year-old child away from something that they want to do, and you said, listen, I've told you, I have to give you a paddle. Right? Every finger coming off the door, one at a time. That's what it should be like when God is leading us. We know, though, that it's his will. And when we are in his will, he leads us, and we trust him with all of our heart, and we lean not into our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge him. He will direct our paths. And that's so awesome, because it takes us out of it. It takes our emotion out of it. Yes, we can complain, God, I don't want to do this, Lord. I really don't. Father, I want your will, but Lord, you know my heart right now. When we came to Longview, there were no kids, and I've got young kids, man. Jessica was a couple of years old or whatever, 4 years old, I don't remember. They were whatever age. They were young. And we leave this church with all of these great children's programs that were really investing in our children. That's not easy. I'm not going to lie, it's not easy. Big vacation Bible schools and all this fellowship and people that loved us, people that brought wood when I was in the wheelchair and we couldn't cut wood, came out and built a ramp when I was in the wheelchair because I had no way to get in my house, didn't charge a penny for it. I want to leave those people that administered to us for all those years to come to a little church that was struggling, that was lost in a sense. But see, that was one of the biggest reasons that I knew it was what God's will was. It's because it was the last thing from what I wanted to do. But God opened every door, he checked every box, and clearly beyond a shadow of a doubt, I knew that the God of creation had divinely orchestrated this time in history to place me in the spring of 2008 in Unionville, Tennessee, at a church I'd never even seen before. See, these breakthroughs of godly focus, they happen in the lives of the followers of Christ, but they happen in the lives of believers who are resigned, who are yielded to God's purpose and his plan for their life. Verse 3 again. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility considers others more important than yourselves. Ladies, the second thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it is this. Breakthroughs happen when we love others as we love ourselves. As a matter of fact, it says, consider them above yourself, really. Ha ha! Right? That's easy, isn't it? Ha 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 ha! Buy your birthday present and then buy your friends, your mom's, dad's, wife's, huh? Yours was a lot less than theirs, right? You take care of those that are in your life so much better than you do yourself, right? Ha ha! Actually, we're really good at having hearts that are idol factories, don't we? We serve ourselves really good, but most often we don't do very well. And we're talking to everybody, all of us, battle this. Because the human condition, now, I know people that are incredibly selfless. But really the normal condition of humanity is to really be selfish. We struggle with that. This is a big one, especially in the South. Blood thicker than water. Blood thicker than water. They're my family, they're my kin. Oh, Uncle Willie, living like the devil. Don't want nothing to do with church. Don't want nothing to do with anything spiritual. Oh, got his truck stuck. Sister, brother in Christ over here. Need you to, for 5 minutes to help him with something. I got to go hunk Uncle Willie over here. He's having a hard time. I want to just tell you one thing. Don't do that. Don't fall in that trap. Do you realize that the DNA as a follower of Jesus Christ blows away your earthly DNA and the connection you have to your family, whether you or I like it or not? Do you realize that brothers and sisters in Christ trumpet, big time, exceed any earthly biology or DNA that we could ever imagine? Oh, well, they're family. I hope you understand today that your earthly connection's nothing when it comes to the straight up and down connection through Jesus Christ, because the Bible says we are one in Christ. I hope you don't see those people that you stand next to somewhere and go, well, they're not my family. They're my church family. I hope you understand that. You better just say, take church out of it, man. Hey, there's my brother, sister in Christ. We fellowship together. Because what you're doing if we do that is we end up saying that they are a little less than, oh, it's my family, but that's my church family. We better look at that and recognize, especially if you got lost family members that are rebellious, reprobate, don't want nothing to do spiritually. You better darn sure make sure that your spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ are at a much higher level of your ability to minister to. Because it's very easy, again, to go that opposite way. Listen, I understand it. This is what I want to tell you. I thank the Lord. One of the things I really thank God for with my parents, from the time I was in diapers, the minute I was out, I think my mom took me to church within 3 or 4 days of being born. Not to show me off either. My parents loved Jesus, even back then, big time. From the time that I was a child, we had missionaries in our home, red and yellow, black and white, and I say that with all sincerity too. My family would open their doors, and I don't care what time. I don't care if dinner had been made and they showed up. My parents would make sure that they had a place to sleep, that they were taken care of and loved just like they were family, and I mean that. I never, ever, ever recall in my lifetime my parents saying, hey, we'd like to, but we're busy or whatever else. If my parents had plans, they immediately canceled plans to minister to those kind of people. We had missionaries. As a matter of fact, you can look him up, Mark Rich. He was killed in South America by the FARC rebels, F-A-R-Q rebels, 10 years ago now. Bob and Noel Rich are his father and mother. Incredible family. I remember playing with them when we were little children. They had been on the mission field in South America their entire marriage, and then they raised their children also on the mission field. Mark ended up getting married, growing up, getting married. Him and his wife were on the mission field, had some kids, I don't remember how many. And Mark was abducted by the FARC. And the way they found out, they thought he was dead. They were hoping he wasn't. One of the FARC guerrillas was arrested over the years, and he ended up coming to Christ. One of the people that Mark was reaching for Christ came to Christ. This man was so convicted about his part in killing Mark that he wrote a letter to Noelle, which is Mark's mom, and Bob, his father. And he confessed what he had done to their son. Noelle wrote about this to us. I think I read it here many years ago. But Noelle was struggling for a while after she got this letter on what to do. Because he was saying, I have come to faith in Jesus Christ, and I need your forgiveness. I have killed your son and shared the whole thing. And she said for a little while, she said she really struggled with it. Here is the man who killed her son, and she was angry. She deprived Mark's children and wife of their father, the husband, all because these people hate what he represented. But what was so neat is where God brought Noelle to. God brought Noelle to the place where she recognized, through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, that in her taking part in salvation through Jesus Christ, she killed the Son of God. And she became to feel incredibly guilty and said, how in the world could I not forgive this man who killed my son when I killed the Son of God? Amazing picture of redemption. They have a relationship now. But what was so awesome, though, is when you see that come full circle, very heartbeat of Mark Rich's life was to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. His very life was a thing that impacted this person that abducted him and many other Christians over the course of their lives and this whole group in general. And God brought him to saving faith in Jesus Christ. See, breakthroughs happen when we love others more than we love ourselves, or as we love ourselves, however you want to put it. You've got to love people to go and be a missionary, brothers and sisters. You're not going out on the mission field to hit a home run. I promise you that financially. If you do, you're crazy. If you go into that kind of ministry, or many ministries for that matter, to get rich, you are crazy. Unless you're one of those things on TV there, one of them mega things, and you're raking in billions of dollars or whatever and selling those holy water sticks and everything else they're throwing out. That's between you and the Lord. But most people don't do that. Mark Rich was on the mission field because he cared about people's eternal zip code, their destination. If you're not spiritually loving your neighbors as yourself, how do we ever expect a spiritual breakthrough? How do we ever expect a breakthrough and to focus on what God's intended purpose for us is? We don't realize how short life is. We really don't. We don't know how short life is. You read the obituaries this week alone. There was a pastor in, in Texas, 37 years old, died of COVID, accidentally gave it to his parents while he had it. The parents died quickly. He ended up dying later. A bunch of people in this Texas town are dying of COVID. Not saying that to scare nobody. Let me tell you one thing. Our days have been ordained before the foundations of the world. Amen. And I'll tell you one thing, whether it's a motorcycle accident in Florida that they deem COVID related or whatever else it is, when you and I's time and our ticket is pulled, we're out of here. You're headed, I pray, today to a place called Glory Land. I pray that you're going to Beulah Land. I pray that you're going to heaven, whatever you want to call it. Again, same thing, same place. Abraham's bosom. We read this week, didn't we, Eddie? I'm going to preach a message that I ended up hearing I watched a message last week. It won't be the same message, but it's the concept of oh man, Mr. Curtis, I'm guaranteed you're going to jump up and start shouting when I do preach it. It just is deep. Oh, it's so deep. Y'all better put hip waders on in about 6 weeks because I want to study it some more and really understand the concept. But it's the place that you and I go called Abraham's bosom when we die. And then there's the other place. Not the final place, but it's in a sense the resting place. We are as live as ever at that point, so that's the awesome part about it. But that's what we all have, is we have an eternal zip code right now. If everybody in this church drop dead right now. We are going one of two places. We are going to spend the beginning of our eternity in the presence of the God that loved us and sent Jesus to redeem us, or we will be taken, as you see in the story of rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was taken to a place of torment. What did he want? He wanted to go and tell his brothers because the place was so terrible. But we will all go to one of those two places today. And what we do right now is going to determine what we do when we breathe our last breath in our eternal destination, because God sends no one to hell. Listen to me. God sends no one to hell. We send ourselves. The only thing that God's doing when one day, if you hear those words in front of, by the way, the great white throne of judgment, 100%, 100% of the people that stand in front of the great white throne of judgment will spend their eternity separated from God. But see, what Jesus Christ did is he enabled us through the righteousness of Christ, his sacrifice. What he did was pay a price for our sin that we could never pay. He did that not so we could be good people and maybe one day be good enough to stand in his presence and hopefully our good outweigh our bad. No. Do you realize at the moment you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are as saved, as sanctified, and as God loves you as much right then as the day 10 years later that you've made such a disastrous mistake that you have destroyed the semblance of everything that your earthly life represented? Do you know that he loves you that much at that moment as he did the day that you came to faith in Jesus Christ? Well, how could he? Is the finished work of salvation, why did Jesus say it is finished? Amen? Do you understand where I'm going? It is not by works, but by grace. Now, we don't use that as a license to go out and go, oh man, that's awesome. I go out here and live like H-E double hockey sticks now. I go out here and immerse myself in any and everything that I want to do because it's so great, I'm saved and God loves. No. Why would you want to do that? Jesus loves you. He saved you. He has a purpose and a plan. Do you know that when we go do that, we're in essence robbing others of the opportunity of coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Because we're a part of God's plan. So are you and I going to selfishly immerse ourselves in our selfish, self-focused desires and our will? Or are we going to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Colossians 3, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, what? Not on the things of the earth, for we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. It says, put away, farther down in that chapter, put away the things of the flesh, evil concupiscence and covetousness, for which things sake the wrath and curse cometh on the children of disobedience. In them ye once were, but now ye are children of the light. That's why. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could plunge ourselves back into a life of brokenness and hurt and things that are going to harm our walk with him, that are going to hurt our fellowship with God. See, breakthroughs happen when we love others as we love ourselves. You're never going to have that spiritual breakthrough in life until we live. Understanding that the number one commandment is what? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, and your strength. The second is like it says. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how can it be like it? We're not like God. You know, we're made in the image. Amen? So what does that mean? That means that God cares about people because he made us in his image. And when we're not kind and when we don't think of others above ourselves, what we're doing in a sense is we set up an idol to self. And we reject what God's second most important commandment is. But it's like the first. So basically it's the first. Listen to verse 4 again. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Self-focus causes spiritual blindness. Self denial restores spiritual sight and paves the way for breakthroughs. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Self-focus causes spiritual blindness, doesn't it? It's really easy when you think about the things you're doing in your life that sacrifice right now to see tangible things that it's cost you. I've done that. Recognize that if we didn't have a house full of people, our lives could be quite different. And as people have asked me about that, you know what I've said to them? Yeah, it'd be quite different. Be as selfish as we wanted to be. Because you don't have money going all out, and basically you sunk your retirement boat. But what do we never have the opportunity to do then? To invest in the lives of what God considers number one, people. See, we can do that and recognize that, and we have to be careful. It's good to do that as that Ebenezer, that rock of remembrance, and remember, God, you are using this to impact people with the greatest things you could ever do. You're storing up for yourselves treasures where moth and rust will not destroy and where thieves will not break in and steal. But again, hey, I've seen those cars from the 80s when I was a young man. Boy, they're some good-looking cars. Boy, they're ugly as sin now when you look at them. Now this, you know, 68, 69, Chevelles and Camaro, yeah, those are beautiful. But my goodness, I don't think there was a car that came out in the early, everybody like a 1984 Escort, blows the timing belt every 30 to 70,000 miles, bends the valves when it does. Weren't those just great? No, they were junk. Everything that came out after about 1980 was junk. But even the prettiest of cars back then, you know that the Ferraris and Lamborghinis, you look at, well, they probably still run really good, but they're ugly as sin, isn't it? What I'm saying in saying that is things are passing away. They are. Hey, if you came to me and said, Brother Jonathan, I know that you don't like driving at night now because it's getting harder to see at night, it's tough, and I don't like it out where we live. I do not like driving at night now. I don't, sorry. In the rain at night, oh, scares me, seriously. Brother Jonathan, I want to buy you a new Tesla Model 3, $36,000, self-driving. I'd enjoy that. I really would. I would really like to get in the car in the morning and know that it's going to drive me. Yep, it could have a malfunction and fly off a cliff. Big deal, right? I don't care. It wouldn't matter to me. But I would enjoy that. I like a Tesla. They're really cool cars. Fascinating. But you know something? In another 10 years, it'll be outdated too. But I know one thing that's not. It's the people that we're investing in. You. You're not going to be outdated. You're going to be as fresh and as relevant in 10 years and as important as you are right now. Yeah, those new, oh my goodness, some of these trucks are $60,000 and $70,000 for a regular pickup truck now. Oh, I got a great deal. You can get this house for $350,000. Do what? Emily's grandmother and father over one of those, it's a state name, Nevada, or one of them over in West Nashville. They paid $2,000 for it, you know, 40 years ago. Just sold for what, $350,000. The house is basically redone. They'd tear everything down but the front porch or something. All those things are passing away. Everything's passing away. Everything's changing. But my question today is, what spiritual breakthroughs can you point to in your life? What can you point to today in your life where God is using you and doing a mighty work in and through you? How this week, or let's just say in the last 6 months, how has God used you to impact someone eternally? I hope you can say, yeah, I can. Yeah, I've been ministering to so-and-so. I'm encouraging my sister, brother in Christ. You know, been praying with someone. Dear sister in Christ called yesterday, over 80-some-odd years old, just encouraged and shares her heart, needs to share her heart, not from even our church. It's important, encourages her. See, it's so easy to get self-focused and miss out on all these opportunities. Hobbies are great. You know, as I sat on the bank at the lake this week with the kids, You know, you watch them, man. I'm going to tell you something, man. There's some high-dollar stuff running out there on the lake. And boats got big speakers on. Some bad music coming out of some of them. Bad. But, I mean, they're out there having a big time and whooping and hollering and having a grand old time. If you said, hey, man, I'd give you, hey, have y'all ever seen some of those sheiks over in the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and Dubai and stuff, those yachts they've got? Have you seen some of those? I think they're really fascinate me. Brother Jonathan, I'll tell you what, if you'll leave the ministry, I'll give you one of those things and enough money to live on that thing wherever you wanted to live in Monaco. You could spend 6 months in Monaco and the rest, I'll give you enough for the rest. Just get a stop ministry. You might say, I bet you'd say no. Brothers and sisters, this is what I know. If I had enough money to spend on a yacht that somebody gave me in Monaco for the rest of my life, I know that the moment I stepped on that boat, I would have a misery that would be unparalleled. Do you know why? Because I would never get to hear a brother or sister in Christ sit down next to me in tears and say, thank you for caring and listening to my battle or my struggle or praying for me or praying with me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for encouraging my family, my child, my brother. Thank you for leading me to Christ, leading my husband to Christ, leading my wife to Christ, leading my children to Christ, whatever it is. I wouldn't hear that. Because what I will have done at that moment is I will have bowed to the altar of self. And no longer is there a spiritual breakthrough or focus. Why? Because I bought the lie. Remember, the Garden of Eden's boiled down to one thing. There was a lie. And it's the same lie that has been passed on and echoed through the halls of eternity. It is that there's a greater fulfillment found in something or someone other than God's perfect purpose and plan for our life. Whether that be some man, some woman, some family, some job, some retirement, some lottery, whatever it might be, it comes in every single form, but it's still the same lie. It is that there, if you indulge yourself or you get this or that, you will finally receive a fulfillment that God has withheld from you. And again, it's nothing more than a lie. It's the lie. God's best right now is sitting on our doorstep. God has the abundant life in Jesus Christ sitting right in front of us. But are we going to buy the lie that it's going to take something else, something more? How many of you this morning need a spiritual breakthrough? How many of you are literally sitting there going, I wish I could just jump up right now and shout, I need this. You're preaching to me. I'm not preaching to you. It is the Spirit of God, if you feel that this morning, that is knocking and shaking your inner self. What he's doing this morning, if that's the case, is he is pleading with you. Pleading in love and compassion for you. To run from the lie, run from it, flee it with everything in you. Because what the Spirit of God is saying to you is you will never find it. You'll run, as Keith Green's song, you'll run to the end of the highway and not find what you're looking for. It won't make your troubles disappear. How many of you right now wouldn't know a spiritual breakthrough if it smacked you in the mouth? Because maybe this morning God has convicted you, and for the first time in your life, you genuinely realize that you are separated from God. And right now, for the first time, you understand the weight of your sin and the brokenness of who you are. And right now, you want to jump up and shout to me, I am lost, and I want nothing more than a genuine work of God through Jesus Christ. And I no longer want to live in this apathy and indifference and this facade, this fake that I've been living, and I want a genuine work of God, a transforming work that will change me and leave me never the same. If that's you, you know who you are. Because I remember it plain as day in the summer of 2004. You ready to turn over a new page? Are you ready for a spiritual breakthrough? They don't happen until we take the necessary steps this morning and remove whatever it is that's hindering what is sitting right there. Do you realize that sin is nothing more than a barrier that withholds God's blessing? Do you realize that sin is nothing more than the thing that withholds or blinds us from the work of salvation and our ability to be connected to the God that in the Garden of Eden walked with Adam every day. Do you realize that's what salvation is? It is to once again fellowship with the God that created us to dwell with him. That's what God did every day in the cool of the evening, walked with Adam. And this is the thing that people struggle with. Well, if I get saved, then what happens if God, any of those ifs, you're listening to the enemy say, it doesn't matter what you or I have to lay down. Matter of fact, when I gave my life to Christ, my addictions, I said, I'm not going to stop these. And if God wants, he'll take out what he needs to take out and put in what he needs to put in. And God be the glory, he did it. Took things away from me that I thought would never be gone. But what it was I truly laid my life down to be raised in Jesus Christ. I am so thankful today that God is so merciful and he's so gracious and he loves me in spite of myself. But that's the thing today. You can allow the enemy to define the narrative and continue to talk and say, hey, everything's good right now. You're fine. Or you can convince that the Spirit of God that's convicting you right now and saying, hey, things are not right. I have a life for you that is above anything and more incredible than anything you could ever imagine. And you can even think, oh, yeah, that's just the devil trying to convince me I'm not saved. Well, wait a minute. He doesn't do that. He's the one that sits there and says, hey, don't change nothing. This is great. Everything's fine. There's no problem. Don't listen to the enemy when he does that. Because the last thing in the world that the enemy wants you to do is come to faith in Jesus Christ. I know that from experience. But I know this morning when the Spirit of God convicts you, there's not only no greater love extended in that, but I'll tell you one thing. There's no greater joy when you listen to the shouts, I love you. And you hear in the words of Jesus, it is finished. What a profession of love. What a proclamation of God's love for us. And what does it take? It takes recognizing that you are separated from God. You may know about religion just like myself and might have been born in a home where you were literally immersed in it. That doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. A work of God and coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is a personal experience. When God helps you and I understand that we are lost, that we are separated from him, and it takes understanding, well, I'm a pretty good guy, Lord, you know, and I'm ready to start. No, it's recognizing that we're not. There is not one righteous, no, not one. And it takes understanding that God says to us in the most broken of broken, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And the promise is, I will give you rest. And then he actually extends it even further and says, take my yoke upon you and learn, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what the call of salvation is. Not only am I going to do the work by you coming to me, but by the way, I'm going to yoke you. If you'll allow me, I will yoke you to me, Jesus is saying, which means as long as we yield our wants, wills, passions, and desires to him, he will lead us every single step of the way. Again, piggybacked out with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you start to fully understand that whether you and I have submitted to God's plan in the mission field of South America, India, Iraq, or Unionville, Tennessee, it doesn't matter if you and I think, well, if I don't go to India, I'll never lose my life, really. Do you realize in disobedience, God can take you home faster than you ever dreamed of than where you and I would be in obedience? What God's promise is that he will lead us, he'll guide us, he'll direct us wherever it is. All we've got to do is, by the way, pull the bumper sticker off. God is my co-pilot. If he's your co-pilot, you're in trouble. Amen? Get back behind the 9/11 reinforced doors and don't be involved in any of it. All you and I've got to do is follow his lead. Let him be the pilot, co-pilot, navigator, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen? Because then we will not have any confusion in understanding where we should go, what our purpose is, and where tomorrow is going to be. All we've got to do is rest, trust. The breakthrough today in focus happens when we understand all that and then we yield to what his plan is. God, I don't know where you're at today with me, Lord, but I understand that your plans and your purposes might not be what I want, but God, make them clearer than ever. When you open those doors, Lord, let me see them, let me understand them. God, I know that, oh Lord, the cry to fulfill what I want to do is so deafening in our culture, Lord. There's Christians that'll affirm that, right? There's Christians that'll say, hey man, you know, God wants you happy. He wants us happy in Him, in His purpose, His plan for our life. But that's the only place that we'll ever find peace, joy, and hope. Are you there today? Are you living in the breakthroughs of focus on a daily basis? Or would you say right now, I'm nowhere near what God wants me to do, where He wants me, but I want nothing more than to know the place that He has for me. Or maybe you're that person this morning, or people that, like myself, were raised in religion. You want nothing more than a genuine saving work of God. That God, in His infinite grace and mercy today, has opened your eyes like never, and you recognize how desperately far you are from Him. And you want nothing more than to experience the forgiveness of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Knowing when you lay down tonight and you take your last earthly breath that you will recognize it doesn't matter if it's today, tomorrow, next year, next month, next decade. You are firmly held in the palm of His hand. And by the way, I know this firsthand. Your sleep is sweet when you know Him. Let's pray. Father, God, I thank You this morning for the truth of the gospel. Lord, I thank You that You are the gospel. You are hope. You are life. You're truth. Father, today, God, as Your word has gone forth, we know it will not return void. And Lord, move in a mighty way as You have. We've been praying about this for days, God. As I pray that You would prepare hearts. God, I know that You're faithful. Lord, for ones here today that don't know the focus that You have for their life, they're kind of been aimless, and this message spoke to them. Thank You for Your Spirit speaking to hearts, God. But Lord, I pray today that it just wouldn't be the words and emotion, that today there would be genuine recommitments, transformations, but above all, those that may not know You as Lord and Savior today would come to know You in saving faith, recognizing they're broken, they're lost, they have nothing to bring but hurt, shame. And Lord, Your Son Jesus bore that shame, that guilt for us. And until we ask You to be the Savior and the Lord of our life, Father, we are separated from You. God, let no one ever leave here not knowing that peace, that hope that is found in Jesus. God, I pray during this invitation that You would move mightily, remove any distractions that would hinder someone from answering whatever it is that You want to do. And I pray today would be a day marked with breakthroughs, breakthroughs of focus, Lord, breakthroughs of life and life more abundantly. And we ask this all in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.